Let's start tonight in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We have a couple other places to go. Exodus 20. All right, Exodus chapter 20, let's go all the way down past the Ten Commandments, but down to verse 24. Exodus 20, 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we come to you tonight. What we hope will be a simple application of something you said way back a long time ago, Father, in another age and another time, Lord. But may you help us as we labor to apprehend these things for us, that you'd help us to do so. Lord, we love you. We need you. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to fine-tune things to serve you better. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it's the Ten Commandments chapter. And it goes into this thing about the altar of earth and the altar of stone. Now, as you know, it's not very long past this point that the Lord specifies the making of the brazen altar that everything's going to be burnt on. So, and after that, by the way, in Deuteronomy 12, nobody brings anything anywhere to be burnt but on that altar at the tabernacle, okay? But for a small, short period of time, the Lord establishes that an altar of earth can be made and that an altar of stone could be made to make these sacrifices, and specifies in verse 25 that if you make those sacrifices on an altar that's made with hewn stone, that is, the mason puts his graving tool to it to knock off edges or whatever, that you have polluted that altar and have messed up the sacrifice. So I'd like to talk to you about that for a little while tonight. I want you to picture a stonemason. He has built a beautiful altar. It's almost perfect. I mean, it's square, it's level, it's plumb. The stones are all natural stones without the graving tool being set to it at all. They've been fitted perfectly, and he's just picked the right stone for the right slot. He has one slot left, and the perfect stone for that slot, the altar will be completed, except for the fact that in the space where the stone has to go, the stone has just an edge or a nub or a crag that just makes it just the slightest bit off as far as the fit's concerned, and how tempting it must be for that stonemason to take that graving tool and stone, mason's hammer and just knock off that nub or nipple or whatever it is that keeps that stone from fitting perfectly. And if he were to do that, in spite of the altar being beautiful, he would pollute the altar of sacrifice. So I'd like you to think about that for a little while. And what it's proven is that it's really, really hard for a man to keep his grimy paws and his tools to himself, right? Now, I understand we are not Old Testament priests. We do not minister off of an Old Testament altar, so we're clear on that. But let me take you to a few passages here real quick. You're going to be flipping back and forth between these, so you can forsake in your Bibles Exodus 20 for now. Look in Hebrews 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, Hebrews 13, and 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd remind you as well, Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we do sacrifice as priests before God, but it's different than they did there. 1 Peter chapter 2, go down to Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Yes, you are a holy priesthood to offer up not physical sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now we'll talk more about that in just a second. Go back to Hebrews 13. You have two places in the New Testament that clearly point out the fact that you are a priest before God that offers spiritual sacrifices, not physical ones. So the altar is not going to be physical. And so to build an altar of stone, to set a graving tool upon it, a mason's hammer, we'll have to understand a little differently than they did then. But Hebrews chapter 13, go down to verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There's a sacrifice, but to do good, to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Right? Now, I'm going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a second. We'll be flipping back and forth between those two passages pretty much here. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, you say, well, why no tools? Why, if you hew the stone back in Exodus 20, why does that pollute the altar? Well, this might be a hint, verse 4, to whom coming, Jesus Christ, as unto a living stone. Jesus Christ is not just the chief cornerstone. He's not just typified in the stones of the altar, and you wouldn't put a chisel and a hammer to something living. But Jesus Christ is a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So you wouldn't put a stonemason's graving tool to something that's living. You wouldn't carve anything off your baby, for instance, or your puppy, much less Jesus Christ, right? Furthermore, notice verse 5 also, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Any building you make here, I know we're talking about an altar tonight because we're talking about spiritual sacrifices, but the Bible says not only that are you a lively stone, a living stone, all of us, but we're built up into a house and holy priesthood, built up a spiritual house. Well, that spiritual house is made up of living stones, so you wouldn't put a graving tool and a mason's hammer to living stones, right? Or you'd really mess them up. So I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about polluted altars. And with the understanding we're not talking about a stone altar, now we're talking about a spiritual altar on which you as the spiritual priesthood offer up spiritual sacrifices, right? So I got thinking, okay, if the stonemason puts the graving tool to one of the stones of the altar, he pollutes the whole altar, okay? So I got thinking about, okay, then as a spiritual priest unto God, making spiritual sacrifices, all of us, not just the pastor, not just the deacons, but all of us Christians, right? You got to think about what the Lord might view as polluting the altar so the sacrifice is not acceptable. And I got thinking about that, and I noticed, for instance, to start with, since we're in 1 Peter 2:5, I can tell you this, here is how you offer spiritual sacrifices. Verse 5, ye also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look in Hebrews 13 to verify this. Hebrews 13:15. It says, by Jesus Christ you offer up these spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. By Him. By Jesus Christ. So I'll say this first of all. We offer our sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, by Jesus Christ. And I just wanted you to know something. You don't want to mess with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now that if you mess with Jesus Christ, you're polluting your altar. You're polluting the sacrifice that you make. All right? I'll remind you, you may not need this, but I'm going to remind you just how all of your access to God is by Him and through Him. It's overwhelming in the New Testament. Folks, when you stand on the street and preach, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, people just look at you funny. And I think they think that you actually get something done by jumping through baptismal hoops and taking communion and all this kind of thing. Nothing happens. Because it all comes, anything we get from God or that goes to God through us or by us goes through and by Jesus Christ. For instance, Ephesians 2. Through Him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. But through Him you have access to the Father. Ephesians 1. We are predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. There just is no other way. It's overwhelming. For instance, God in 2 Corinthians reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He hath called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. He gave us great, showed great kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Over and over. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Ladies and gentlemen, there's lots of things to do. There are lots of sacrifices to make, spiritual sacrifices, sacrifices of praise and such. You have to remember that whatever else you know theologically in your minds, you have to always return to the touchstone that you do everything. You speak to God through Christ. Everything goes from you to God through Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the mediator. He's the advocate. And by the way, anything that comes to me from God comes through Jesus Christ. It says there in Titus that the Holy Ghost was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 6, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now folks, what I'm getting at here is back in the Old Testament, a man that put his graving tool, his stonemason's hammer to a rock to knock an edge off, to knock a crag off so it would fit better, polluted the entire altar. If the stone was hewn, God didn't want it. Well, I want you to know that whatever else is the case, our spiritual sacrifices, 1 Peter 2:5, Hebrews 13:15, go through Jesus Christ. And if you mess with Jesus Christ, you're messing up all of your ministry. You're messing up all that you're trying to do, all that you hope to do. I don't care how sincere you are, if you mess with Jesus Christ, you're messing up your sacrifice. You are polluting your altar. Man has 1,000 different times in 1,000 different ways used his tools to reshape the image of Jesus Christ. It happens now all the time. And I know it doesn't sound like such a maybe a high, lofty goal to our modern church builders and such, but whether or not I ever pastor 1,000 people, I don't know. I tell you what I would like to escape this world having done in my ministry. I'd like to escape this world having never touched the image of Jesus Christ with a graving tool. To form it and carve it and hew it somehow after my image or some image that I have created in my mind so that Christ would perhaps be more acceptable to somebody because I have hewn on Him and carved that rock, that living stone. I have, if I do that, I have polluted my own altar. Listen, folks, they can't leave the deity of Jesus Christ alone. Whatever heretic there is out there, no matter what he does, I promise you, he's going to mess with the deity of Jesus Christ. Those schoolmen, those Catholic apostates, they argued for 200 years and more, and they had 1,000 different schools of thought. There were 1,000 different species of false teachings and heresies about the nature of Jesus Christ and how that related to the Father. They had all kinds of ideas, you know, that he came and he wasn't God at first, but then God came upon him, and then at the cross, God left him, and he was just a man again, and all this kind of stuff. They had that God adopted them somewhere along the way in life. All of it's nonsense. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And whatever heretic is out there, most all of them, Mormons, JWs, you name them, they almost always, in some form, fashion, or another, mess with Jesus Christ. They just can't leave His nature alone. They can't let His work stand. They're always messing with Him. They're always hewing Him. They're always putting the graving tool to Him and taking that mason's hammer and tapping away at stuff they don't like. To some, Jesus has been reformed into a hippie. To others, He's been reformed into a vegetarian. To others, He's been reformed into an environmentalist wacko. To a Catholic, Christ is Catholic. To a Protestant, Christ is Protestant. And I got to tell you the truth. I have friends that are Baptists that have remolded Christ after their image somewhat, too. For instance, have you ever heard the idea, and I don't want to make anybody mad. Have you ever heard the idea that Christ had short hair? Okay, now that's a separated Baptist position from any fundamentalist. Got news for you. Leviticus says He did not have short hair. He did not round the corner of His head or His beard. So He had long hair and He had a beard. I heard a guy one time that said that Jesus Christ was clean shaven. Because all good Baptists, separated Baptists, are clean shaven. So I don't know about that thing then this morning where I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I guess he just didn't shave that day and his beard grew really fast. But to a Calvinist, Jesus Christ is a Calvinist. To a Marxist, Jesus Christ is a Marxist. Those are men taking Jesus Christ and graving Him and hewing Him into an image that they want. I promise you that any time a president of the United States in recent days has mentioned Jesus Christ favorably, he has hewn Christ after his own image and not tried to conform himself to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is, to hew one stone on that altar was to pollute the whole altar. And like I said, my goals are not as lofty as some. Whether or not I ever pastor 500 people and whether or not we ever raise a building fund of $15 million, I don't know. I'm not really sure that I care about. I would like, among other things, to escape this life having served Jesus Christ and offered my spiritual sacrifices personally and having ministered for Him personally without ever setting my hand to a tool to reform His image. Because if I do, in some manner, way, shape, or form, I am polluting my own altar. So there's that. I offer my spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. You better leave the image of Jesus Christ alone. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You better leave Him alone. Right? There is another thing I'd like to point out to you. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. That's connected to this, 1 Peter chapter 2, let me read verse 5 again. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, off the altar, spiritual altar, comes a spiritual sacrifice from a spiritual priest that is offered by and through Jesus Christ. Your access to God is through Him. You mess with Him, you're messing up your access. But it goes further and says in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. So twice there it's used the word believe. Well, I'm reminded by that, folks, that you offer up these spiritual sacrifices as spiritual priests on a spiritual altar through Jesus Christ, and of necessity, it must be by faith. You believe, right? Look in Hebrews real quick. No, actually, don't go back to Hebrews. We'll go there later. But, so it's by faith. It's by faith. We walk, as you are all very well aware, we walk by faith and not by sight. You minister by faith and not by sight. You offer spiritual sacrifices unto God by faith and not by sight. Problem is, man has a really hard time keeping his grimy paws to himself, his wild-eyed inventions and ideas, and his graving tools off, stuff that he thinks he can better conform. Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. It says that we're supposed to offer our sacrifices through Jesus Christ by faith, by believing. I want you to know those sacrifices are offered by faith. And again, mankind can hardly contain itself. In fact, mankind doesn't. There are a few folks around, I would include some of us here as that, who have not placed our hand to a graving tool. We are not trying to do anything to change Christ's image, and we're trying our best to live and offer these sacrifices by faith, right? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One thing that's been proven, man has a really hard time keeping his hands off the Word of God. There just has to be some better way to say it. There has to be some better way to understand it. There just has to be, to a smart guy, a better way to do this than is being done. And so in so doing, since the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, since the Word of God is the fountain through which faith comes, and you have to offer those sacrifices by faith, if somebody messes with the Word and changes the understanding, they have cut off the fountain. Folks, in the Old Testament, if you set a graving tool on that rock, the whole altar was polluted. I just want to say this morning, or this night, I just want to say that I believe folks with NIVs and New American Standards, they may be saved, and I'm glad they are. I don't want them to go to hell, but I tell you what I believe. I believe they are working off of polluted altars. I earnestly, truly believe it. They use tools to hew the Word of God. 36,000 times in the New Testament alone, over and over and over again, the new versions change the old King James Bible. And I don't have, certainly not time to do it tonight, but I can take you to the specifics of it, and I think that by the time it's over, you have to agree that every time those versions change the Word of God, they're taking off an edge, they're making it softer, they're softening sin, they're changing the truth of something. It never is for the better. It's never, ever for the better. It's always for the worse. And you see it over and over again. I believe, I truly, truly believe that they are working, that they are ministering off of polluted altars. You just can't change those words and get away with it. You just really can't. And it goes a little further than that, because men won't let the Word of God stand alone. But in so doing, they won't let faith stand alone. Man always wants to walk with his eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight, but man does not like that. He always wants to see something. He wants to see results. So, it's nice. Mrs. Darling got a chance to pray with somebody downtown on Friday, possibly led him to the Lord. You know, we'll see what happens with all that, right? Hopefully he's saved. I'm glad that that's the case. That happens fairly seldom. I want to say that I'm satisfied to go sow the Word of God and preach without anybody coming and saying, "Oh, I just want to get saved." I'm satisfied to do that if that's what the Lord has. But most folks, eventually in a ministry, so many times what you see is people are so consumed with seeing results, they will do almost anything. They will manufacture something to make sure that they can see some kind of result. I just want to say, you better watch out what kind of tool you put on that, lest you pollute your altar. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. That's how a sacrifice is made today. We don't see the sacrifice. We make a sacrifice by faith. Men want to see results. Men wants to rely on his eyes. A man wants to add something visible to assist him. It's not enough to walk by faith. I want a cross posted so that it helps remind me of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Or I want 12 stations of the cross to help remind me of what Jesus Christ went through. And I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure you have, it's been complained about before, not by anybody here, but you come to our church, it's kind of funny you don't see a steeple. Well, the JW's built a building, so there. But it's also kind of funny, I suppose, to some, that there aren't a bunch of crosses and pictures and images visible. And you say, well, you think it's wicked to say have a little cross on your pulpit or something? Well, no, not really. But hey, if we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, we don't need our eyes except to read our Bibles, right? We don't need our eyes to be able to see a cross to remind us in our hearts of what Jesus Christ did. And there's a fact of the fact of the matter is, if you start placing too many images up, pretty soon you're reliant on those images and you ain't walking by faith anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm saying is that those spiritual sacrifices come off of an altar and they go through Jesus Christ and they go by faith. And where the image of Jesus Christ is hewn or altered by a graving tool, or where the faith of Jesus Christ or the source of the faith of Jesus Christ is hewn or altered by a graving tool, the altar's polluted. The altar's polluted. All the effort, all the sincerity, all the energy, all the money you put into it, the gas that you spend to go, the expense that you go to get there, it's all polluted. Because you're not doing it by faith. You're not letting the Word of God stand. You're not walking by faith and not by sight. And you've changed the image of Jesus Christ. Your sacrifice is polluted. I have one other application here for you. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. I hesitated to say early in the sermon that I thought I was going to be short tonight. So I just waited till the last point. So if this one goes really long, well, I won't be short, but I think I will. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and a reminder in verse 5, that it is there that we offer up our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Go down, though, to verse 9 where it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Notice holy nation, and then go back to verse 5. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood." Okay, you are a holy priesthood. You are a holy nation. Is that right? So I'll say this. You offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ by faith in holiness. And if it's not in holiness, if you've taken holiness and you've carved it and hewn it and sanded it and rounded it and made it softer and easier and all those sort of things, you have polluted your altar in holiness. Now look at a couple other words here nearby. Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. There's something in holiness to just abstaining. You know, there's just stuff you're not supposed to participate in. I just don't drink, period. I abstain from it. I abstain from adultery. I just don't do it. The Bible says to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against it. There are things you just shouldn't do. It's not that you just shouldn't do them if you can find an unless you can find an excuse to do them. Part of holiness is just not doing them, period, ever, even for special occasions. Right? There's the word abstain, verse 12. There's also another word that plays in verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. You know, honesty has almost become a thing of the past. Our politicians don't have to be honest anymore to get elected or reelected. I think people like them as liars. But even in practical life, so often, folks aren't honest at all, and they don't seem to be get the backhand for not being honest. How often have you seen fellow laborers and fellow workers cheat the boss in either material or time, and nobody says anything? Whatever happened to honesty? Whatever happened to not somehow getting the roast on the ticket at Cub and realizing it later and taking the roast back and saying, hey, we didn't pay for this? They'll look at you like you have three heads on your shoulders. It says having our conversation honest among the Gentiles. How about holiness? How about offering sacrifices in holiness? How will it be if you get on your knees tonight and thank God fervently and with great sincerity for His goodness to you if you didn't return the roast and you have no inclination to return the roast? Now, what kind of sacrifice is that? It's a polluted sacrifice. It's polluted. Notice another word in verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works. Boy, there are some couple of dirty words. Good works. We're so Baptistic and Bible-believing and grace people that we no longer work at all. Even after we're saved. Well, I got news for you. You're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Part of walking as a priest, a spiritual priest before God, offering spiritual sacrifices, is walking in holiness, honesty, uprightness, abstaining from certain things, and, by the way, doing good works. Now, there's another part of holy. You know the verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, it's a spiritual sacrifice. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. It's supposed to be holy. These sacrifices are offered in holiness. And you can pollute your altar not only by thwarting the image, by putting that stonemason's graving tool on Jesus Christ. You can thwart that by not walking by faith and changing the Bible and understanding it a different way than what it says. And you can also afford it by not following holiness. Now look at a couple more things. Hebrews 13. Still under holiness. Holiness has become a bad word, or else a branch of Protestantism or Pentecostalism, you know, holiness people. I got news for you. Anybody that's a Christian is called to be holy. And you're supposed to. It's just old-fashioned holiness, okay? It's doing right all the time. Look in Hebrews 13, and I should get there before I try to read that. Hebrews 13. Notice verse 13. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Jesus Christ was holy, offered a holy sacrifice. You're called to go to Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Part of that holiness is a really ugly S word. Separation. Separated. Without the gate. Not with the rest of the congregation. Not with the rest of the Israelites. But outside the gate. Out where stuff stinks. Out where you're wading once in a while into manure that the sheep and the cattle have left behind. Out where they've dumped guts and skin and all kinds of stuff that's refuse, that's off-cast. Jesus Christ suffered without the gate. And we're to go without the camp to Him, bearing His reproach. It's separation. Separation is now a dirty word. Separation is now pharisaical. It's legalistic. It's a bad word among neo-evangelicals. It's a bad word among Southern Baptists. It's a bad word among the average Lutheran. They don't even understand. If it's not in holiness, those spiritual sacrifices are offered off of polluted altars. It's true. It's just true. By the way, one more thing in Hebrews 13:13 before we go to one more place. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Oh, that's ugly. In these holy sacrifices that we're supposed to be making in holiness, spiritually off an altar, through Jesus Christ, by faith alone, somebody laughs at us. Somebody looks at us with reproachful glares. And for most, it turns them completely off. Ladies and gentlemen, for so long now, men have put their graving tools to this rock. They've done all that they can to make holiness something acceptable, to alter it so that it's acceptable to the world. And they've also taken the reproach that comes with that stone. They've done everything that they can to make it appealing to the world. You have polluted your altar. Jesus Christ was killed for what He said, and He was killed for what He believed. He was laughed at and scorned and mocked and so many worse things than that. And your lot is to go with Him and be reproached and laughed at. Straight preaching and visitation is really good. Do you know why? It forces you to face at every door and with every person that you face, handing a tract and have them go like that. And it's usually not violent or physical or anything like that, but is a disdainful mockery that is really, really hard on the flesh. And it really, really reminds you how much they love Jesus. They don't love Jesus at all. If they love Jesus, most often they love a Jesus constructed in their mind after they have taken a graving tool and hewed Him into a form that they want and like and accept. The Jesus Christ of the Bible is hated. And when you stand in representation of Him, they hate you. And it's really good on the flesh to face that once a week, if not more often. It is really good. I have one more thing to show you about this holiness thing. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. And there's another couple of words in connection with the holy part. 1 Peter chapter 2. Man, of all things, he can't keep his tools off of the image of Jesus Christ. He can't keep his tool off of the Bible. Well, through Jesus Christ, you offer these sacrifices by faith. And as far as the holiness part, they've done everything in the world that they can to soften it, to alter it, so that it's more acceptable, so that Christ is more acceptable. And they polluted their altar. I want to just say in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, There's another word. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. When you walk into the house tonight, where Lexi's been since we've been gone, and you smell a peculiar smell, what is the expression that crosses your face? Right? That's the looks that I get on Friday downtown. Because you're a peculiar people. The Lord called you to be peculiar. It is distasteful to them. Again, it is back to that scorn and mockery and reproach with them. But you're called to be peculiar. And boy, modern Christianity can't leave it alone. They want to be peculiar. They want to be acceptable. They want to be accepted. They want to be cool. They want to be received. They just want to make sure that that bridge from being lost to being saved is easy to cross, and they want to make themselves as appealing as possible, put a bunch of tinsel on, a bunch of jewelry on, and pretend that this is Christianity. It's not. You're called to be peculiar. You're called to be a little strange. That follows here in verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You don't live here. You don't fit here. You're peculiar. I mean, in America, if you're above 30 years old, you should be feeling less and less at home now than you ever have before. But this is not your home. You're a stranger. It's a strange America to our grandfathers. And now I walk down the streets and I feel like a stranger. I feel like I'm in a foreign land. There are strange and weird people out there in the majority. I'm a stranger, and I'm a pilgrim. I don't belong here. I don't fit here. And the fact is, I've come to the point in my life, I don't even want to fit. Now, I don't know if you're there or not. It's a good place to go. I don't want to fit. America is not going back to where she was when she was a spiritual powerhouse. Okay? And everybody's running around trying to make it better, thinking they have the fix. But they all think they have the fix without including Jesus Christ or the Bible. They think there's going to be a revival without a Bible and without Jesus Christ of the Bible. I don't care whether America gets better or not, if that's the price. I'm not even trying to be acceptable anymore. I don't even care if this is home anymore. I'm headed somewhere else anyway. I'm late enough in life now. I'm an old geezer. I'm late enough in life now that the next stop is a far better place. I don't intend to move across an ocean. I don't intend to cross over into Canada. It's no better there. But the appeal to the other side of the veil is more appealing all the time. I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim. I'm not even trying to fit. I don't care if the fashion this year is double-breasted or single-breasted. I'm going to wear what I've been wearing for 20 years. I really don't care. I don't care if the car that I'm driving went out of style 10 years ago. I could care so little. I don't even want to try to fit. Now, I don't know if you're there or not. It's hard for young people to feel that way. It's hard for folks sometimes who saw an America that is much different than the one we live in today, a Christianity even, to want to go back. But you don't want to go back if the sacrifice in getting back comes off a polluted altar. Really. So you're a priest unto God. You offer spiritual sacrifices by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, by faith, in holiness. If you put a graving tool to those three rocks, you have polluted your altar. If you put a graving tool to any one of those three rocks, you have polluted your altar. Let's bow our heads and pray. Well, Father, when we come to you here, we hear inspiring people who have taken their stand. Martin Luther took his stand. He said, "Here I stand." Other folks in church history and history have taken a stand and stood. Father, I pray you might impress upon folks here tonight that they should stand in a place where those spiritual sacrifices made through Jesus Christ by faith in holiness should come off of an altar acceptable to God and not polluted. Father, help us to not pollute our altar. We know we're not Old Testament priests. We know we don't labor and minister over an Old Testament altar. We minister over a New Testament altar. Jesus Christ is the living stone, and we are the lively stones. And Father, these things that we sacrifice much differently than those folks then. Help us, Lord, to labor and to be careful, to be cautious, to be ever vigilant, and not putting a graving tool into any of these stones that might pollute our altar. Pray to deal with folks' hearts. May they make application in their own lives and hearts in these matters. We pray in Jesus' name. Just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for just a second. If the Lord dealt with you about something you need to pray for, why don't you come? There are things that I talked about tonight that are the most natural things in the world to do. And they will pollute your altar. They will pollute your sacrifices. They will not be acceptable to God. I hate to have such a low esteem for some of my fellow Christians and other fellow Christian groups. I'm sorry. I grew up a Southern Baptist. I have friends that are new evangelicals. And I'm sorry to say that I truly believe that they have allowed the Mason's hammer onto the stones that should never, ever be touched. And they have polluted their sacrifices. They're sincere. They love their children. They love their wives. And they love God. But somehow they missed some critical things. And they're laying the graving tool to these stones. And they pollute the altar. They pollute their sacrifices. They're not acceptable. Let's look this way and sing a couple of stanzas of Take Time to Be Holy. It's 376, if you don't know it. 376. Let's stand. Thank you for today and tonight. Grateful for opportunities that we've had. The fair stuff. More fair stuff coming up these next weeks and in a couple of months, actually. Father, street preaching, visitation, door to door, those sort of things, Lord. Again, I pray you'd help us to labor hard in these things. We now are cutting the final swaths. We are now shoveling the final cuts. There won't be that many days left to labor. I pray, Father, you'd help us to give it all that we've got. Help somebody here that's been a little lax to catch themselves before they slide further. We need you, Lord, and we need to be doing something for you.
Father, help our sacrifices to be acceptable because we have not laid graving tools to these hewn stones, or unhewn stones, that we've not hewn the stones. Father, I pray you'd help us in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.